السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i Kiram, most respected brothers, and also our sisters who listen over the receivers. Very recently, in one of the masjids in Karachi, while delivering a bayan in the Urdu language, I discussed Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi's nasihat, which I intend bringing to your attention for this Jummah. All of us take it for granted that if we make amal on some part of deen, then we are so pious and so righteous and so muttaqi that Jannat is reserved for us. All the doors of Jannat will be calling us because we excelled in a certain department of deen. Now this is our biggest mistake and biggest error. Whereas there are different things that we have to do, different obligations and responsibilities and duties that we have to fulfill as believers in Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Jummah congregation is a congregation of believers in Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We are not addressing the disbelievers. We are not addressing those people who have rejected belief in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or in the Day of Judgment, in the life after death. The congregation that comes is a congregation of those who truly believe in the greatness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and in the finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So therefore it becomes our duty to find out what does Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam expect of us in our lives. What is the purpose of just performing our salat in a very, very professional manner? A very beautiful salat. Salat of Junaid Baghdadi and Sirri Saqati and Khaja Mu'inuddin Ajmeri and Khaja Alauddin Sabir Kalyari Rahmatullah Ali, the type of salat that they perform, we perform salat like that. And after that, when we come out of the masjid, then in our relationship with our wives, with our children, with our neighbors, with our family members, with our clients and customers, then we are the brothers of shaitan. Or we even excel, we beat even shaitan. So what is required is a true balance. And therefore Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali, who was that great alim, mufassir, muhaddis, sufi, he says that for a salik it is necessary, it is very important that he brings into his life five things. Now different people have given different things. Some have said, and this you find from the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. For example, that hadith sharif which you have heard many times, which again comes to mind whilst I'm discussing this, that where do we take this from? That if you bring these three things in your life, if you bring these five things in your life, if you bring these six things in your life, if you bring these 10 things in your life, then it will become easy to practice on the rest of deen. Now all these type of things which the Sufiya-i Kiram, or which the Ulama-i Deen, or which our Mashayikh sometimes tell us, it is from the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that they have taken the cue. As Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's that Mubarak hadith in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that you guarantee me 6 things, I guarantee you Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give you Jannat. Now there we can see that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions 6 things. In some places Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions other things. There's no time to go into all those details. But for example, in that hadith sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if you guarantee me 6 things, then Allah ta'ala will give you Jannat. Usduqu iza haddastum, wa awfu iza wa'adtum, wa addu iza u'tumintum, wa ghuddu absarakum, wa ahfazu furujakum, wa kuffu aydiyakum. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that you guarantee me that when you will speak nothing but the truth. Your speech will be nothing but haqq and the truth. There won't be lies in your speech. Of course, it's a subject which I was not supposed to even touch on this hadith sharif, but it just came to mind, just to give you an example. So he says that you speak nothing but the truth. When you make promise, then you will fulfill the promise. Just whatever promise you will make, then you will fulfill the promise. You will not break your promise. And when you are entrusted, then you will fulfill the terms of the trust. You will not betray the trust. Whatever trust you have been entrusted with, then you will not betray the trust. You will lower your gaze. Obviously, you will lower your gaze from what? From anything that is not permissible for you to see. It's not only a woman that is walking in the street that is beautiful, that you must lower your gaze from. Anything that Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has ordered that you must lower your gaze from, then you will lower your gaze. And you will protect your chastity. You will not indulge in adultery or fornication. And you will withhold your hands, in other words, from any kind of injustice upon any person. Now if you guarantee me these 6 things, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, then I guarantee Allah ta'ala will give you Jannat. So obviously he was not addressing a congregation of disbelievers. That was not for the kuffar and the mushrikeen and the yahood and the nasara. That address was to the believers. Those who had already believed. Those who were making salat, those who were giving zakat, those who were performing hajj, those who were keeping fast, those who were giving charities, those who were making tahajjud, ishraq and chasht. And in fact, he was addressing a congregation who did not even have these weaknesses in them. It was a congregation of the Sahaba-e-Kiram. They were clear and free from these type of deficiency and weakness. It was for us that if you believe in me, if you believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and you have great hopes of going into Jannat, then don't just write your name in that list that my entry is guaranteed just because I'm making my namaz. Now check your life, how much of lies there are in your lives, how much of breaking of promises, how much of betrayal of trust, and how much of watching of haram, filth, absolute filth, how much we watch, and how much of adultery and fornication, making hajj upon hajj, umrah upon umrah, but fornication and adultery is not leaving the person's life. Wallah, I'm taking qasam in the masjid and I'm telling you. But nobody will come to know who the person is, because when the person is writing, it is confidential. But for nasihat of others, and it can't be a lie when the person is saying it himself. But of course we make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala get these people out of their sins. But a person happened to attend a first program 2 or 3 weeks ago. And after that he writes a letter that I am concerned about my islah. I am a person who returned recently from Hajj. And he says, I heard one of your bayans in which you mentioned of how disturbed you were listening to the reports of what was carrying out at Mina and even in Arafat and especially in the hotels. The cell phone messages and the SMS and the illicit relationships and everything that was going on. He says, when I heard all that, then I wish to bring to your notice that I am one of them who is guilty of such an offense. May Allah Ta'ala forgive me. That upon my return, the very first day upon my return, I indulged in adultery. The very first day upon his return from Hajj, that same illicit beloved of his, he was not prepared to give up that sin. So who are we trying to fool? So this is why he says, وَغُذُّوا أَبْصَارَكُمْ وَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَكُمْ. Protect your chastity. Don't indulge in these type of sins. Last night I mentioned in the Zikr program that something that has become extremely important for each and every one of us now, especially in the light of sudden deaths. All of us know what skeletons are in our cupboards, and all of us know what kind of haram indulgences we are involved in. But I mentioned a very recent incident where a person collapsed, and fearing that the person has gone from this world, then you have to open up the cupboards, the bags, or whatever it is to find some kind of information. So the type of information that was found in the diary was very shocking. And I have mentioned also incidents in the past of people who passed away, the whole family passed away. Again, so many such kind of incidents have taken place, so therefore we must not speculate who the person can be. But whole families passed away, husband, wife, children. So who will have access now to the house and the cupboards? The family members, the outsiders, the strangers. Now little did that family or little did that couple realize, or little did those people realize, that the day could come in our lives when we will depart from this world, and all those things which we considered to be secret, that nobody will have access to it, it will become public property. So those who are treasuring their sins, the SMS messages which are floating like fun, and the faxes, and the emails, and all the computer disks, all what is stored in there, and the photographs, and the pictures, and the filthy films, and everything else that we think we have got very safely kept in our cupboard, and nobody is aware. And in fact, we take great pleasure in reading those diaries also, where we are recording every day whatever is happening in our lives. There are so many people who take great pleasure in reading of their sins of the past, that on a certain day, certain time, I had this encounter, and I went to this place, and I went to that place, and I did this, and I did that. Now what we have really done is we have pleased Shaitan that we have kept a record of everything, and in the event of sudden death, now every person has got access to that. And who has got guarantee that there's going to be no sudden death? Zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa, kab bula le khuda nahi maloom. Zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa, kab bula le khuda nahi maloom. Aur usme tawsi bhi hai ghair mumkin, aur miad uski nahi maloom. Rizqullah ki maqtar sahab dhamad barakatum. You have heard this many times, that the visa of life, it's a very strange kind of visa. When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala cancels this visa, it is unknown. All the other visas, there is a duration of time. The person knows that he's got a 30-day visa, he's got a 2 weeks visa, whatever amount of time he's got. But this visa, there is absolutely no knowledge of what is the duration. And again, all the other visas with a little bit of bribery and a little bit of gifts and some monies, the person can get it extended, or some contacts. But no matter what kind of contact you have with Hazrat Israel alayhi salatu wasalam, he cannot extend your visa of life. One undertaker mentioned that 60% of those whom he buried a year or two ago were under 30 years of age. 60% of those he buried were under 30 years of age. Children, teenagers, some died in accidents, some died in shooting, some died in other way. Or as I mentioned last night, whether the person is a politician, whether he's a technician, whether he's a physician or is a musician, he has to leave this world. And it goes suddenly. So why should we keep a record of those sins which will bring embarrassment, shame and disgrace upon us in the event of sudden death? And even if there was no such thing as sudden death for a Muslim who believes in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to gain enjoyment and pleasure from his sins is that iman. And yet the person will be in the first saf in the masjid. He'll be making tasbih, he'll be making zikr, he'll be going out for jamaat and dawat and tabligh. He'll be going to the khanqahs by the mashayikh and the buzrugs. And after that, he'll be going for hajj upon hajj, umrah upon umrah. But they just cannot seem to give up the sins in their lives. So how can we expect that connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Because Allah ta'ala says, in awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. Only those who have got taqwa are the friends of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And taqwa is staying away from that which Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has declared as haram and forbidden. And it's not difficult, because you don't have to do anything. You have to give up certain things. It's not that you have to do a lot of things to get taqwa. What I was discussing and where we went, nevertheless, so Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that it is extremely important for every salik that the first thing that he must have is that his aqaid must be right. His aqaid, his aqidas must be right. There are many things that we can discuss with regards to aqidas. But we know that we'll be entering the month of Safar just now. And our aqidas with regards to Safar are also so incorrect. People believe that all kinds of difficulties, problems, hardships and calamities, they descend in the month of Safar. Therefore we need a lot of ta'weezes in the month of Safar to protect us from all these kind of calamities. And then there are all kinds of customary practices and all kinds of customary beliefs with regards to the month of Safar. Therefore you don't hear of many marriages also in the month of Safar. They say that it is a bad omen. The people that will get married in the month of Safar, the marriage won't last long. Whereas Hazrat Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah alayh, the liberation of Masjid Al-Aqsa, it was in the month of Safar. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam dispatched the army of Hazrat Osama radiallahu ta'ala in the month of Safar. And so many other incidents took place in the month of Safar. So our aqidah and belief has to be this, that the day, the time, the hour, the star and the sun and the moon and all these things have got nothing to do with bad luck and good luck. Bad luck and good luck is related to our a'mal, our actions and our deeds. That day in which we do good deeds and we stay away from haram and we fulfill the rights and obligations and responsibilities Allah Ta'ala has placed upon our shoulders, then that is a good luck day. And the day in which we disobey Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then that is the bad luck day. All the good luck and bad luck is associated with our a'mal and with our actions, and it has got nothing to do with the stars or with anything else. People are going to fortune tellers. They are believing so strongly and firmly in whatever predictions are made and whatever the fortune teller tells. And especially in our times when it comes to our ta'weez walas, when they open up those books and when they open up the ta'weezes, and sometimes they show you on the palm of your hand and sometimes on the wall and sometimes in other places they show you pictures of the person who has done the jadu and who has done the tricks and who has done the witchcraft and all those kind of things. So we don't deny that there is haqiqat and there is reality in jadu and in sehar and jinn and in everything. There is a reality. But who did it and the ilm of ghaib, it is only with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is the mind of the person that works very strongly. When I have got a very strong suspicion on Mr. X, that person has done this witchcraft, then when the Taweez wala will read and blow, then that is what will happen. I will see the face of that person. And then we will blame that person, whereas in reality that person has got absolutely nothing to do with it. Just day before yesterday, a person phones and tells me that, Maulana, we were shown that you did jadu on my husband. Now can you believe? As if to say, I've got nothing else to do. But this is what happens. And so many other cases of this nature. Jinnat speak so much of lies. Now where are you going to catch the jinnat and bring him to the box to give evidence? So don't believe in these type of things and create family facade and mischief and fitnas. Families are breaking apart. Husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, even parents and children. Because the first person that they mentioned, the mother-in-law did, the sister-in-law did, the mother did, the father did. Now, as if to say the people have got nothing else to do. So our aqidahs must come right. That superstitious beliefs must leave our hearts and our lives. So with regards to this month of Safar also, there is no such thing as there is nuhusat or bad luck in the month of Safar. Just go about your lives as normal people lead their lives. There are hadiths, there's no time to go into it. La tayyarata wala hammata wala safar, and so many other hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And if something does happen in the month of Safar to someone, then that same thing could have happened in the month of Muharram and in the month of Rabiul Awwal too. And do calamities, disasters and problems and difficulties only come in the month of Safar? Now many old ladies and the people who are seeped in these superstitious beliefs, when they tell the children or when they tell the others that you must do this and you must do that for protection in the month of Safar, and if that person says, I don't believe in that, it is superstitious belief, and if something happens to that person, then they will say, you see, I told you, why didn't you listen to me? Now you see what trouble and difficulty came upon you. So ask that person that, what about all the difficulties and hardships and problems that come in the rest of the 11 months of the year? So we must place our tawakkul in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. The person who places his trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala sufficeth for that person. Of course we must make use of the means. There is nothing wrong with that. But we should not believe in things which have got nothing to do with Islamic teachings or Quran or Sunnah. As I said, that everything has got to do with our actions and with our deeds. When we will please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will please us. When we will please Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will obey Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will love us. And then He will give us a life of peace and happiness and contentment and satisfaction. We won't find it anywhere else. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the realization. Brothers, we are all well aware of the bombarding and the firing and the killing and the murdering and martyring of people in Palestine and in Pakistan and other places. We must make a lot of dua. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give hidayah to these Muslim rulers. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them kingdom, gave them government. So they take it for granted that now we will remain in this position of power all the time. But the zulm and the injustice that they are doing, it will not go unseen and unnoticed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He gives deal, He gives life, He gives an opportunity to repent and to come back on Sirat-e Mustaqim. But when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tightens the noose, then nobody can escape. So we must make a lot of dua for those innocent people who are being martyred, who are being killed, who are being murdered, and on whom bombs are being rained. and whose life is being made miserable. They cannot sleep in peace, they cannot eat, they cannot do anything. And we must make so much of shukr that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us so much of His ni'mats and blessings. So instead of just passing comments and just saying, swearing and cursing a few rulers, that is not sufficient. Whatever we can do, we should do to assist and help them, and at least we can make dua for them. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems. May Allah ta'ala give hidayat to those who are doing injustice. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala restore once again peace, order and strength in those lands.